It's good to see so many turned out. We're living in uncertain times, no doubt, and lots of people are very anxious. And all we can do is to be sensible and obey the health experts and tell us what to do. People's crying out for protection. And when you listen to the news, no doubt, it would cast you down. But as God's people, we have to listen to what God says. And first of all, I want to read a psalm. Psalm 91. And as a nation, indeed not only our own nation, but right across the world, governments and those that are ruling over us, we have broken every commandment in God's word. And the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And I'm wondering, are we reaping what we've sown? It looks very like it. We've sown sin, and every law in the book has been broken. They don't accept now a man and a woman in marriage and all the rest of it. Thou shalt not kill. Abortion. Remember the Sabbath day. We could go down the whole list. But here, this is where we find ourselves in. But every time I listen to the news this last day or two, I read this psalm, and it lifted my heart. And it was the peace of God within my heart every time I read it. And I wanted to read it just before we start tonight. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Let's bow our heads now and our hearts in a word of prayer and call upon the Lord for His help, and we might know His presence tonight as we've come to seek His face and look at His word. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we can draw an eye unto God, and You have promised to draw an eye unto us. And Lord, we thank Thee even for Thy presence already. We thank Thee we can say God is here, and that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. And Lord, we thank thee even for this psalm which we read. O God, help us to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, and we can say all will be well. Dear Father in heaven, we do pray tonight that you would just draw strangely near. We thank thee, Lord, for each one that has come out, and we pray that you would bless each head bowed in thy presence. And do you remember all our families and our loved ones at this time? We praise you, Lord, they're in thy hand and in thy care. Just hear our cry now, loving Father. Help us now, Lord, as we look at thy word. Give us the hearing ear and the understanding and big in heart. And help us to obey thy word. We pray these things in our Savior's great and precious name. Amen. Could we turn to Luke chapter 6? Luke chapter 6, I just want to read from verse 46, these four verses here. Luke 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against when the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Amen. And this verse, just the verse 46, we want to look at tonight. It says, "On why call ye me Lord, and do not the things that I say?" We have a question here. In this verse, and this question is from the Lord. You know, when you read the four Gospels, it's amazing how many questions and answers from our Lord are in the four Gospels. There's dozens of them. And when we come to this verse 46, it is this question here that we want to look at tonight. This question that the Lord, you know, that he's asking, it's a very striking question. And it challenges the hearts of all those that follow him. For if you read back in those chapters, those multitudes followed Christ. And now he stops here and he asks them this question. And he says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" When you think of it, and he says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" This evil here, which the Lord brings to our attention, you know, it's no new thing. It has always existed in the Church of God. It was found 600 years before our Lord's time in the days of Ezekiel. Have you turned to Ezekiel 33? And the verse 31, Ezekiel 33 and verse 31, it says, I want you to listen very carefully to this verse. "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Who is this question addressed to then? Well, we could say it's not addressed to those out and out enemies of Christ, for they don't call him Lord, Lord. And it's not addressed to those who are wholeheartedly for him, for they do what he says. So the question is for those who call him Lord, Lord, and do not obey him, or do not what he says. Didn't James say, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves? You know, the story is told of an American lady who was traveling home on the plane, and she found herself beside this young man. She was seated right beside this young man. And as she sat down, he was very polite, and he addressed her as madam. And she thought within herself, this is a well-trained young man. He's well-mannered. For he called her madam. And she asked him, then she thought within herself, and she asked him, are you in the service? He says, yes, madam, I am. Then she said, what branch? He replied, Marines. Oh, she said, where are you going? Where are you coming from? He said, Operation Desert Storm, madam. Oh, how long were you there? He said, a year and a half. I am on my way home. My family will be waiting for me at the airport. She said, you must have thought about returning to your family many times, or thinking of home while you were in the Middle East. Oh no, madam, he says. His reply was, we were taught never to think of what might never be. I'm going to repeat that now. I want you to get this. He says, we were taught never to think of what might never be. In other words, he knew he could have never seen his family again. And he says, we were taught never to think what might never be, but to be fully available right where we were. To be fully available right where we were. Notice, I thought of that. What commitment this young soldier had to the army. What a loyal soldier he was to the army. And then, what about the words his commanders told him? Just to be fully available right where we are. That's what it was trained into. To be fully available. Don't, in other words, think and yet sidetracked. You're here to do a job, and you must be fully available where you are. Oh, if we as God's people had just the same commitment like that for our blessed Lord and the captain of our salvation. You know, sometimes God's people spend time wishing we were some other place, or wishing we had were in some other position. Isn't it true? But this young man was trained to be fully available just right where he was. You know, God has placed you and me just right here for a reason. And there's nothing happens by chance by our great God. We are placed here for a reason. And when he's Lord of our lives, we ought to be fully available just to him right where we are. In this verse, Luke 6, verse 46, this is a question from Christ. This is a question that strikes at the heart of our commitment. You know, the Bible says that God's word is quick and powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword. And surely this is a piercing question to each one of us. I'm speaking to myself. It strikes at the very heart of our commitment and his lordship in our lives. You know, I'm told to repeat a person's name. It's an expression of closeness or nearness or oneness to repeat a person's name. Remember when God spoke to Abraham on Mount Moriah? He cried out, "Abraham, Abraham." And as he was about to plunge a knife into the breast of Isaac, he cried, "Abraham, Abraham." Remember, Abraham was the friend of God and the father of the faithful. And when God encouraged Jacob in his old age to go into Egypt, he said, "Jacob, Jacob." Then what about the call of Moses from the burning bush? He cried out, "Moses, Moses." Or the call of Samuel in the night. It was Samuel, Samuel. Or consider David's cry of agony. Remember when his son Absalom, he cried, "O Absalom, O Absalom." And remember our Lord's cry from the cross. It was, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And when Jesus comforted Martha, when he warned Peter, and when he wept over Jerusalem, in each case, the word repeated for it was for closeness' sake. There was that oneness, that nearness. And we'll come to this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" You know, in other words, the Lord is saying, "Why do you act like one? Or why do you act like we are so close? Why do you act, or why do you pretend to have this deep relationship with me? And do not what I say." You see, this is a question for those who claim to follow Christ. Yet, may be many by their actions, they show differently. They walk in a different way. They claim to follow Christ. This question could be for someone who has fully surrendered their all to Christ. We sang that hymn, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give." And surely this verse teaches us that just calling him Lord, Lord, doesn't make it so. Does he rule in our hearts as Christ, complete control? Does he lead us daily? Does he guide us with his eye and we depend completely upon him? The dictionary defines the word Lord as someone who has dominion or control over others. And you see, when we take the name of our Lord Jesus Christ upon our lips, we are declaring he has control over our lives. You know, sad to say, there's a lot of people today in the church who will call Christ Lord, Lord, and then go out and live a life in their own control and in their own way. Again, we think of that hymn, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all." But do we really? Each one of us Has Christ dominion or control over our lives? You know, right across our land tonight, there are those who come to church and they will refer to Christ as their Lord, but they have areas in their life that they go against everything that Christ stood for. And surely this question must come to them. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? In John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. What did the Lord say in Matthew 7 and verse 21? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know, a life yielded to Christ makes him Lord in our life. Why the Lord needs to be more than a word on our tongue. And verse 49, it says, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. And the Lord here compares the man that hears the word of God but doesn't put it into practice is like a man that built his house with no foundation. But the man that hears and does those things that the Lord says, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. Then when the storms and floods of life come crashing in upon us, we will be able to say, all is well with my soul. You know, Job's a great example of a man who followed the ways of God. He was a man greatly blessed of God, unbelievable wealth, and he lost it all. His family, his livestock, his health, his whole body was covered with sores from head to toe. He was blessed of God, a man following God, but he's going through a terrible storm. Even in the pain and suffering that he had, he wouldn't turn upon God and remember his own wife, his nearest and his dearest, came to him and said to him, curse God and die. But know what Job said to her. Look at Job 2 and verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at his hand, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job didn't just talk the language of a believer. He lived it. And because of that, he was firmly grounded on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. And we read that the storms of life passed. And we are told that the latter part of Job's life was more blessed than the first. You know, what a question this is to each one of us. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. May God help us to be those who will not only hear his word, but who will do it and obey it.